Welcome to our podcast where we share experience as first-generation Haitian Americans through our different perspective on our culture while creating a safe space. I'm Lisa Fania.
I'm Soraya. Welcome, guys.
What up, Soraya? Sak pase.
Oh, what isn't up? You know, just creating a new normal, like you mentioned the other day. Well, there's that. And although we Zoom and Skype and live and every sort of, you know, what a video conferencing app that's out there, I still do miss my family and friends. So there's that. How about you, the sac passé?
Camaraderie.
Camaraderie. You got it. You just
the camaraderie part is just like my tongue.
That's
is
the
like,
best
no.
part of the word. It's just rod. Camaraderie.
Camaraderie.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. There you go. I am good. Last week, my best friend and I started working out. We worked out like 3 times through Skype. And that put me back on my workout regimens that I was on for the past like 2 to 3 months. I fell off at the end of February, you know, because of this new normal that we're in. And my body was just like, nope, stay in bed. Mm-hmm. And since last week, I've been just like, ooh, and I'm very mindful of what I'm eating, what I'm consuming. I'm not listening to the news, but I give myself at least 10 minutes in the morning to listen to it right before I meditate, honestly, because I'm just like, once I meditate, this is my, like, I've already zoned out whatever anxieties I may have. Anything that comes in, I don't care. But, and also I've been doing the 10-minute meditations with Shamia in the morning with her people, and now we're on Instagram. And just trying that out, seeing what that looks like.
I think one day I'll make my way over there. I just, 8 a.m. is not my time of functioning.
It's on for 24 hours on her live.
No, I know. And I can pick any sort of, like, you know, when you have access to the past videos and you can just do it whenever, but like, it's much more fun what's in the moment.
It is.
You can give feedback and receive feedback or whatever. People are aware that you were there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's 24 more people that we didn't have for the past 2 weeks. We've had like a consistent like 7 people on Zoom. And I'm like, I miss that. I miss that little small circle of like women that I was getting, because it was most of, they were all her friends. And it was just really, really cool to like get to know them and see, like, just commune with just all of these women from all the parts of the United States. All were all having the same experience and just having a routine in the morning. Really, really helps personally me set my day, and it just keeps me organized with my day.
That's good. I haven't been able to stick to one schedule. I tend to have like blocks where I'm like, okay, wake up, change your clothes, you know, do that, work at some point between hours of 10 and 5, you know, make sure you eat the meals around the times that you would normally eat. It's all just kind of a guided timeline. So I could never be like, even younger, I could be like a strict schedule person, because I was always late. Like I just never felt like doing something at that time. I just had to get my mind around it. But it's a form of discipline.
Well, in the sense of where we are, what the conversation that we're having, we can start it now because I want to ask you a question.
This week we're going to be talking about your expectations versus your reality. And I mean, I can say this about my whole life, but specifically now.
Sorry.
I mean, it's the truth. I have certain expectations versus my reality. And when they don't meet up, I get really upset. But you have to be forgiving of yourself, or else you're just constantly going to fail and not be able to get back up and not, you know, not want to do anything. But yeah, so that's what we're talking about. And we don't want to make it specifically about the COVID, but, you know, this is the new normal for now. And we thought we should talk about it because it's played a huge role these last couple of weeks in my life. In my life, I can speak for myself, Lisa.
No, it has. I'm not leaving the house. And you know me. I'm a, what is it? What is the term? What's the Haitian term? They say I'm always outside.
Oh, flâner.
I'm flâner.
You toujours flâner. If I ever go out, I can text Lisa and be like, what are you doing? Like, you know, if I'm just in the mood to go out. She's like, oh, just take this man that you want me to pick you up, girl? And I'm like, bet. And the nights that I don't, Lisa's already flâning and she'll stop by. And you're like, bet.
I think, forcing myself to stay at home. Because one of the biggest things, because of I know how much I flâner, I'm just like, I'm not going to be the one to cause my parents, who are over 50. They're over in their 50s. I'm not too sure how old they are right now in my head. me and Willie were talking about, I was doing the census the other day, and I was like, Willie, what's puppies? I called him just to say hi, and I was like, since I have you on the phone, what is our father's date of birth? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, but it's 2 days. And I was like, that's fair. Horrible. I can't call you for anything.
You gotta be the responsible adult. You're the oldest child.
But yeah, I think for me, the biggest thing is my flâning has stopped. Flâning means is basically going out in the streets. It's just stopped. I don't go to
Starbucks. Going out for fun. You have no purpose but to just...
No, I just want to be outside the house. My thing was just like, I need to be outside the house. So I would always do work at Starbucks. I can't do that no more. I would be at your apartment. Y'all don't live there no more. I would be, I would go to some a friend's house. Can't do that no more. Because my biggest thing is like, I'm not going to be the one to bring this to my parents who are older and who may not have the capacity to work out or exercise their lungs, or they have underlying medical issues. And I'm just like, not going to be the one. I'm not going to do it. Nor am I going to be able to push myself or step myself in like my family. Like if I go to my aunt's to get food, I'm not going to be the one to be giving anybody that. So I personally, my difference that's changed is just like, I'm home all the time. But for me, I know that if I'm home 4 to 5 days straight in a row, I have to go outside. I have to go somewhere. So that's why, like, last week I went to go see. I was like, it's fine. I'll drive all the way to see Soraya. I don't mind doing that. I've been home for 6 days. I'm okay with driving to seeing you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice to see you in this new space.
Yes, your space is cool.
A familiar face in the new space. It's dark.
But what were you saying earlier? I had a question about, so with this expectation that you have, do you have any goals that you have set up for yourself for the next 23 days?
Not really. Just to be sane when this is over.
That's a goal. Yes.
I think it's in terms of like, I had done so much work on my foundation. I guess this is the test, right? Mm-hmm. On my foundation, getting to know myself and all of this, and so ready to be like a butterfly and just like, you know, flâner, whatever. And this happened, and it really has just taken a toll. And that I want to be around people. I want to get to know new people. I want new experiences and stuff. And I'm not able to do that in the way that I would want from being at home. So I think my goal is to try and figure out how to come back to that foundation that I worked on, and to stay sane, because trust, I can drive myself crazy. I was about to sing In Sync and I decided not to.
You should have.
No, not for the viewers. I mean, the listeners.
Oh, I should put this on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You look good today. Your skin is good.
It's definitely just the shade. You know how I said it was dark in here? So it's just the shade. That's all it is. But yeah, it's been really hard transitioning from working outside the house to working inside the house. Because I think for me, I have a set of expectations in my head of how I perceive what working is. Mm-hmm. And no, like, I haven't asked them what they expect now that we're working at home and whatever. And my productivity level has been a lot lower. I haven't been doing a lot of work. And part of it is that the work has slowed down, but also too, I don't feel like it. I mean, it's lucky that they coincide, but then I feel very guilty because I have these expectations in my head of this is how you're supposed to be working. This is how you would work in the office or things like that. So just trying to stay sane is really my goal. What about you, Lisa? What are some of your goals?
To learn some skills. So the trading, to just make sure that I'm more proficient in my day trading, but coding. Coding is a motherfucker. I think I told you guys I was doing HTML, which is now I'm doing Python, which I think is worse. And I wanted to ask you guys, I think I'm going to send shoot a text right now. I was like, which one is better?
That's Greg or Python. The others.
Yeah, it's the what, Greg, Bo, Wade, and Sarah. Those are the four that I know could tell me which is better. Because Python, I don't understand. Like, I'm getting it. I'm still in the first chapter, and I've been on the first chapter for 3 months now. it's my mind. But my goal is just to learn the skill. I think I want to do something fun and play the piano again.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I packed it up to sell, and by the grace of God, somebody purchased it, but I couldn't sell it through OfferUp because it was too heavy. And the person didn't want to pay for the shipping. So I was like, I'm not paying for the shipping. So what's going to happen? So I was thinking of maybe learning to do it. And I'll tell you offline of like what I was going to do. I'll tell you, because it's funny. It's cute. So those are the two things. And then, yeah. So it's for you. I heard something today on Inc.com. They have this productivity tip of the day that they tell, like, that I listen to every morning. And the biggest thing is what they were saying for companies is like really, really be there for, like, if you're a good, strong leader, to be there for your team this time. So in a sense of where you are, just making sure that you are communicating to your supervisor that, like, hey, look, this is how I'm feeling, how are you, all these things, and having these open communication helps the productivity and helps you become more in tune with your team, and you guys get your tasks done better, is a tip that I heard this morning. I'll send it to you. It was really cute. I was just like, this makes sense.
Yeah, I think my therapist mentioned something similar in that, you know, just communicating with your supervisor, whomever, how it is that you feel, because, you know, I get in my head and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get fired tomorrow. That's like fear of mine, irrational but rational at these times. But there's really no, like, if I get fired right now, that's out of my control. But if I get fired for not doing what I'm supposed to do, that is in my control. And that's the part that I was scared about. But if I'm not communicating and asking what is expected versus them telling me, it's like I need to be more proactive with my team, because they're very laissez-faire. And I'm like, what? This is weird. What do you mean? Like, I basically kind of, I don't know, I don't have as much room to take initiative as I did in my previous position. Mm-hmm. But it's just like that communication, like, hey, just so you know, I'm very light on work. You ask for the work isn't there. There's nothing you can do, and you communicated that, and you move on. Mm-hmm. That first couple weeks of being home, I literally was dying. I was really dying in terms of fighting within, like, the internal conflict within my head. And that just kind of struggle with anxiety. So this is not helping with my anxiety. This is probably one of the biggest triggers, because I am not in control. And I don't know what the outcome, like, you know, no one knows, but I'm just speaking specifically from my perspective. Like, these are all the things things trigger my anxiety and people's anxiety. So my anxiety is at like an all-time high at some point.
But you're going into your bag, right? So
It's a little hard because you're so limited, right? I would make sure I go to the gym, and now it's like I'm scared to go outside. Like, it's it's an irrational, rational fear because of the climate, right? It's like all of the original fears that you would have, or that I suffered from when I was first dealing with anxiety, where I was scared to go outside. I was scared to do things. I was scared to put myself out there. It's all coming back, but in a different way, where it's like, I'm just scared because I don't want to encounter a situation that I don't know how to handle in these weird times. Cause I don't understand. No one really understands what's going on and can, you know, spell it out verbatim. Like, if you do X, Y, and Z, you should be fine. There's none of that. So it's like bringing all of those anxieties back, and I'm just trying to level.
Well, the biggest one for you that I see is the control. And I think for me, since I'm more, to me, I've been doing my, for me to get my anxiety in order, I'm doing my research. I'm seeing really what this virus does. I'm seeing why they're pushing out a vaccine. I'm seeing what they're trying to do, what like the biggest, what is the reason for all of this, right? And, or what is a reason or a theory that I can come up with in my head to why this is all happening? And for me, it helps with my anxiety, but at the same time, I have tools that I've been doing for the past 8 years, where it's meditating, my singing bowl, grounding myself outside. So since I have no grass, I'm just like outside in my backyard, which I'm sincerely, sincerely, truly blessed for. Like,
yeah, grass in your front yard, girl.
I'm not. You could go in that front yard path. There's ducks. I'm good.
In your front yard?
Mm-hmm. There's ducks and cats.
I've never seen ducks in your neighborhood.
All the time. These people like to feed cats and ducks. Remember we had roosters at one point in time? A house had roosters.
No!
Mm-hmm. It was roosters. And they were like walking the streets. And I was like, yo, I don't live in Hialeah. I'm so sorry. Or Lily. I don't live in those areas.
Well, there is a canal a little bit, a couple blocks from your house. But the fact
that I can understand the ducks, but roosters and chicken?
I don't know, girl. I don't know.
So I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with stepping on the concrete that we have in our backyard, as well as somebody stated, if you can't ground with grass, to use rocks. And again, I'm going back into all of my tools where I have all of my stones, and I'm just using my stones in my meditations. I'm using my stones to just hold on to and ground myself. I'm writing a lot more. So all the anxieties, I don't have a therapist, so all the anxieties that I have, I'm just writing it out, and it helps a lot, especially if I write it out in the morning, because I'm more clear with the people that I'm trying to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
I dance, and I twerk my little booty, you know, small booty club. I twerk little my little booty. Little booty. I twerk my little booty, because I know that a lot of my emotions are left in my sacral chakra, which is my, like, sex area. There's a lot of like, not even just like that whole pelvic area, that whole lower,
your pelvic, where your sex area, organ is, your pelvic area,
where your sex organ is,
pelvic area.
Well, that's your sacral chakra. I carry a lot of emotions there, and now I realize I'm carrying a lot of emotions in my shoulders and my neck. I like, there'll be days where I'm just like this. And I'm like, what is happening? I'm like pushing my shoulders.
Yeah.
And it's been helping a lot. And then also like really communicating with you guys. I guess since I'm not flaneng, there's moments and times where I don't communicate with you guys at all. And I'm like, all right, cool. I can just talk to myself and, you know, have my little friends around in my head. Why not? Or just like, you know, just find something relaxing, and I'm okay. Because also, I think in this time, a lot of people feel like they have to do something. So even the goals that I have, they're fun for me. It's not I have to be this creative magical cold day trading person. I don't have to do that. If I'm tired and I just don't want to do anything, which I know is going to happen in 5 days because I've been working out so hard, my body's going to be like, bitch, you need to go to sleep and you need to stay there for a good 12 hours and you'll be fine the next day. And it's really okay to sleep. It's really okay to binge on Netflix or Hulu. It's really okay to just stay in bed.
It's your way of coping. And I think what I'm careful for is to not slip into a depressive state. So if you're doing that consistently, it's easy. If you have, you know, issues with depression, it's easy to slip into that depressive state. But luckily, you know, I do have a support community. I still have a job that I have to tend to. And I have a routine, air quotations.
And I'm forcing you. I'm like, we're doing workouts at 6 o'clock. Whoever wants to join.
Well, I do tend to, like, I'm active around that time. So it made sense. It's just having a structured, like, this is what we're doing. This is what it is. I don't respond well to it. I don't know what it is. I think I don't like being told what to do. I don't like someone else deciding for me. And that's why this thing is super hard as well. Cause it's like, I didn't choose to stay home. I can't even say that anymore. I love being home. Nah. I don't know if I like being home so much right now. But, like, I used to look forward to, oh, man, I haven't been home in a while. I haven't sat in my couch. I haven't watched my TV kind of thing. Enjoy what you've worked so hard for. But when you're forced to do it and you want to go do other things or you've had plans, that's when it's like it turns into something else. Just having to turn around that thought so you're not, you know, walking around your house angry at who. I mean, I could find some people to be angry with.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, I too was angry because I'm like, every time I would talk to somebody about this, I'm just like, this makes no sense. And now doing a little bit more research and understanding why it's happening and how it's happening so fast and how this virus is moving so quickly made me understand a little bit what's going on. I'm not going to discuss it on here because I saw one of my faves. I think I told you yesterday, one of my faves who never ever talked about anything like this spoke about her theory and was like crushed and killed. Though I sent her a message.
As in, like, you were disappointed by what she
said? Oh, no, I believed everything she says because I did my research and I understand what she's saying, like, what all of this is about. And I sent her a message. I DM'd her and I was like, ooh, she responded back to me. And I was like, oh, okay, Missy. All right. And it's just, for me, I think the only way to combat like what you've been going through is just to know that I still have the control. Knowing the fact that like not having that knowledge, not looking up that knowledge, not researching the knowledge. And don't get me wrong, researching can, for me, can take me down a rabbit hole. And there's days that I speak to you that I'm just like, Soraya, this is horrible. Like, I spoke to you yesterday, and I was just like, oh, I started looking up the Resident Evil Corp, like, Umbrella Corp map. And I was just like,
this is so similar.
And I was like, I went down that rabbit hole. And I'm like, there's days where it's really bad. I'm just like, I need to, like, stop. And there's days where I'm just like, this is very informative. I know how to combat that. I know with natural ingredients, I know what to do. I know that Como said to move around, make sure that you do chest openers. So basically like heart openers, like that heart, like stretches and stuff like that. It helps with your lung capacity, making sure that you're taking deep breaths in. So when you're feeling really, really anxious. So one of my tips that I do when I feel really, really anxious is I will sit up straight. I'll take a deep breath in. I'll count to 10. I'll hold it for 5. And then I let it all go. And then I'll hold it for 10 when I'm letting it go. Because the thing about us as humans, especially when we're stressed, is that we hold our breath. And a lot of
my breath all the time. It was wild. I'm surprised I haven't passed out. Like, back in the day, I was like, this isn't okay. It's weird. I was just like, and I'd find myself like taking that breath. And I'm like, why? I'm not working out. I'm sitting at my desk. Why am I breathing like this? But yeah, the breathing
out. Yes, breathing out is a very, very structure of knowing that you are stressed. So taking that 10 breaths in and holding it for 5 and then taking that breath out and like letting it go, but not like letting it go where you're crunching forward into a ball, letting it all that air go where you're like lifting your chest up into the air and releasing all of that and opening up your chest. Those simple exercises help you just breathe and let go of the anxiety, as well as if or not, if you may come around, whatever this is, it helps with your lungs. It helps with your lung capacity and it helps fight that virus out of your body as much as possible. And these are like just small little holistic things. But my tip for you, Soraya, is because you feel like you have no control, is find control. Find a way that makes you feel like you have control, where it's researching, where it's really, really sincerely having structure in your
researching
life.
Researching for me, like I'm aware generally of what is happening. I think for me, the policies on how we're dealing with this and how we really don't know everything about this virus. The fact that we were finding out new things about it every other day, like we found out it was, transmitted through air, and then it was 72 hours, but it's 48. Now it's, we're not sure. Now it's just breathing. Maybe it's not. And it's just like, no one knows, really. We just think most of it, right? And then for me, one of the biggest triggers is leadership. Like I'm huge on like efficient planning, all that stuff. It's what I do. And the fact that it was not done and all of these people have to suffer because of that late response, the non-emergency, not a priority. It blows my mind every time I think about it.
But you have to see that it's not even within the leadership, it's the people. So it's the people that voted for the leadership.
I've been mad at them. I've been mad at the people. Now I'm like, you know?
Because, yes, you would think that leadership would be the ones that would control, but it's the people who voted for this leadership. And it's not even just on a governmental, like a large governmental, it's even on our local governments, right? Because we as our state could have just stopped a lot of things going on a while ago if our local government, our governor, and everything like that.
I mean, but you know what happened with DeSantis and Andrew Gillum. So we all voted, and I believe there was a word count, and there were some votes. Not that, that's the problem, though. So the real problem, I feel, and this is through experience and research and things of that nature, is the system never worked, and or it only worked for a certain amount of few people. Mm-hmm. And so with this virus, it's only going to work for those certain amount of few people. And I feel like they knew that, or maybe they didn't, or whatever. It's just, there's a lot of like racial disparity within the system itself, and once the data starts coming out, you can see who's most affected by this. And it's just really sad, because it's like, oh, here's another thing that you have to worry about. Oh, here's something else to add on to the pile of shit that we've already been served throughout these last few years and previous years. So I think that's really what makes me mad. Not so much like the virus is horrible, it sucks, you know, we're still trying to understand it and the spread and all of this. But if it was handled differently, this predicament would have been very different.
Correct.
And that's just how I approach it. So it's like, I can't even control the research that I do or whatever, because I don't have control of the overall, what I think is the overall issue. So that's why I do have to back up, and you know, I'll see the headlines. I'll tune in. I'm a numbers person, so I own the numbers, and I'm like, huh, that's crazy.
It's understandable. That's understandable. That's understandable. I think there's a different approach, and I think the conversations that we have between our cousins, and having a cousin that's within the public health spectrum, He gives mm-hmm. us a really good information, or he sends us information that we can go and read ourselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just a lesson within us to all do, because, you know, we can all go down. I've gone down the conspiracy theories and trying to find actual facts, and it's how some of the facts are actually true, and how just because of the way that they're speaking or who they are, people won't believe them. But there's some facts. Do you know who now in my mind, who's become my mentor? This is another thing that's helping me, right? Because I'm trying to really, really figure out in the sense of where I am, of like who I'm supposed to be. And I like to be behind the scenes. Doing these podcasts or putting myself on Instagram, my face out, it's cool and all. And I know that I'm beautiful and I know my face is cute and all.
Very much so.
But this, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't feel good in it. I don't like it. I like being behind the scenes.
What don't you like?
I prefer to be behind. I prefer to, yeah. Like, I want to be your right-hand person and tell you, like, all of these things, right? So I remember reading Michelle Obama's book. And after my meditation today, I was just, you know, talking to myself, because, you know, that's what we all do now, because it's just us. And I was like, you know what? I need a mentor, right? I need a mentor who I really, really love. And I'm like, who is it? First, I was just like, oh, I want to be behind the scenes like Flavor Flav, right? That's the vibe that came in my head. I was like, ooh, I want to be Flavor Flav.
Mm-mm. What?
Nah, yes. Because he was like the hype man. Flavor Flav was just like the hype man. I'm like, I'm the great hype
person. Okay, back in that era. Okay.
And then I was just like, ooh, so you don't want to be no Flavor Flav. Ooh, hell no, right? And then I thought of the book by Michelle Obama wrote, right? And she mm-hmm. talked about this particular person that she did an interview, which her name was Valerie Jarrett. And Valerie Jarrett was basically President Obama's right-hand man all through his 8 years. And she was the mm-hmm. one that was behind the scenes. She was the confidant. She was also, she did a lot for him. And I'm still learning more about her. She has a book that I'm trying to find. I don't have a library card apparently, so I can't get no ebooks.
Can't you sign up for one?
I couldn't. You have to go in person to get a library book in Miami-Dade. You have to go in person. I spent like a good 45 minutes trying to figure out how to get one, find her book on PDF, and two, then trying to get a card. So the only way for me to get a card is if I'm like out of state. I'll figure that out. I'll text somebody. Somebody knows how to get me that. But it's her book, and just understanding who this woman is, right? Because there's a little, and then from finding her, I found this other woman who's a Haitian woman. Her name was something Jean Pierre. And she's also like a correspondent, and she does things with CNN. And this is this like black group of women who have all of this structure and power within the world that we're speaking of, the people who understand the system. And that's also my, like, where I've gone to. I've just gone to seeing these women, trying to read about them, really, truly understand them, so that I could be able to implement these things in my life. So again, I have the control. Like, I personally have all the control in the world. Again, I think the biggest reason for me, I can't speak for you, but my reasoning behind for me freaking out is the fact that, like, death is imminent. And for the fact of this, like, this virus is coming and it could kill me or kill anybody in my people that I love so soon, it's the part that gives me personally anxiety. And understanding what I could do to control that, and understanding that that's just part of life. Like, it's life. It sucks. I'm not going to negate that. I'm not going to say all the people who've lost their lives or discredit all the people who've lost their lives or all the doctors, nurses, and medical assistants who are dealing with this. I'm not negating any of that. It's hard and it sucks, as well as this is a part of life. Like, we are born to die.
You live and you die.
Exactly. So
I think I've always had a weird fear of death, and that's something that I'm exploring, and I've gotten a lot better at it, because I wouldn't be able to talk to you about death. That's when I was like, maybe in high school still, I just didn't understand it. I wasn't about it. But
that
no,
book Uncle Tony gave us really like, whew.
Mm. I read a book like that in freshman year. I think it was called The what is his name? It's like The Professor or something like that. And it was similar in that he had a terminal illness. And so he was just basically describing all of the things that he was doing and what it meant to him and how he was going to die gracefully. And it was just like, tears.
That's the what's the breath of air?
I think I could when air becomes breath or something,
yes,
like that.
That's it.
I have it in one of my boxes. I actually just saw it. When breath becomes air. I think that's what it is. And I don't know if I could die so gracefully as they did.
Girl, you can make whatever, like, you, no matter what happens in your life.
Oh God. I don't like to talk about this anymore.
No. I'm not even saying, like, you have the control. Like, you have it. Like, you, as much, the thing is that we live in a society that teaches you that you don't have control. We live in a society that religion is your control. School is your control. Your job is in your control. Your parents is your control, right? This is a society that death is your control. All of these things are, they're things that they've been put, that's been put upon us. And that's not who we are as human beings. We have all of the control to be able to be whoever we want to be, whatever we want to do. If you want to be the most beautiful, holistic person, that's Mother Teresa-esque type person, you can be. If you want to be the most horrible, Hitler-ass person, you could be that. Like, there are these spectrums, because it's just like, it's just whatever your main focus is, whatever your main goal is, if you continue to go after it, you can do whatever and be whoever you want to be. And it's just like, it's just because of all of, like, this is all about control. No matter what it is, this virus is about control. Death is about control. All of it is about control and who can be under control, because it's easier to make all of us as human. There's so many people on this earth. It's easier to just make people believe that they have control of themselves. And within this time frame, and I think that the reason why people are so depressed, and this is my personal opinion, the reason why people are so depressed in this time frame, besides just the unknown and not knowing or understanding this virus, is the fact is like, you have all this time and you don't know what to do with, right? People always say, it's like, oh, you have, what's that saying? You have the same amount of time as Beyonce, right? That saying that everybody says. And I'm like, now you got that time as Beyonce. You're not really fully working 8 hours a day and doing nothing for you. You're productive.
Yeah, but my mind literally is busy within those work hours, because I'm always on alert. So I don't have the same amount of capacity. First of all, my capacity is lower due to this weird pandemic.
Yeah, this is because this is normal. This you're used to going to, you're used to driving to work. You're used to getting in your car, driving to work, going. First of all, the blessing that you have, Soraya, the blessing that you have is that you don't have to see that crap that you were seeing every time you try to go to the beach. You don't see that those red things no more. That's the biggest thing. That's a huge blessing. You don't see the Trump Save America, whatever those hats are.
Oh.
Those Trump stores. You
Girl,
don't see that.
You know what I see? I see people not being leaders when they need to be. So it's still there. It's
That's
just
fair.
Not,
That's fair. But it was triggered. Like you
the hats. I would rather see them and be like, what do you think now? No, what if I take you, yeah. Like, what you need that for? Trump gonna save you. He's gonna make America great again. But we're not gonna get into that, because I just need to get hype.
But I'm saying there's small things.
No,
small,
I understand. There's
small
blessings,
yeah.
That, you know, I'm so grateful that I have this opportunity to have the normal be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say I take that for granted. I think for me, it's just dealing with the anxiety triggers. It's everything that I'm dealing with right now is internal. I know it is. Like, it's not anything, like, no one's, you know, threatened me. No one has said I haven't had there's been a family friend that did pass from this, but that's, like you said,
so
it's
sorry.
Part of life.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. No, it's still, it's still hard, and it hurts that person that you knew. It's
yeah,
yeah.
And
so
I mean, that person was older and they had pre-existing conditions. So if it wasn't this that was gonna do it, it would have been something else. But it's just unfortunate that this is what it was. Because it's not a nice, after seeing all the people with the symptoms and people talking about it, this is not an easy thing to die, like to die from that. It's
No.
not a nice thing to feel before. I don't know. I don't
It's yeah, it's in a sense like you're
know.
never mind, I'm not gonna go either. I was about to say it too, like what in a sense of what I'm understanding, I'm like, oh,
Yeah, but I mean, I wanna bring this back to, it was kind of, we're super grateful that we're able to quarantine the way we can, and that we have access to these apps and to, you know, regularly record our podcasts and to devote the time that we do to things.
this is a part of our healing, so this is one of our techniques, this is one of our tools.
Right. And I think to just try to keep those things that don't involve you exposing yourself in your life, keep them around, keep doing them. I think that's big. You know, sometimes you'll have an off day. Today, for me, I had to work at night last night, so today was just an off day for me, and then I got really
Which is
anxious.
fine. Which is fine. You just
Yeah.
did you honor yourself? You treated yourself like you were 5 years old, and you're like, it's
I just
okay.
said take a nap. I said go to bed. I'll take a nap, just go, just chill out, you know, like it just feels like you constantly have to face. And I think for me it's like I haven't had time to just be like, ah, like freak out. And I guess, you know, no, there's right or wrong way to deal with this in terms of like emotional whatever, like, but I guess I needed some, like, I was supposed to go sprinting. I told my sister I was just gonna sprint down the street, probably look crazy as hell, but that was the kind of energy I was feeling. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna explode. I'm gonna explode. There's so much in me. And it's not out of the norm to have those anxieties, but they're exaggerated now. And I think that's the biggest problem, where sometimes I get paralyzed by those anxieties, and it's just learning how to deal with
Okay.
it and disengage and just take the time that you need to bring yourself back to normal. Because, you know, you don't
So
want to go down that rabbit hole. What's up?
I have two tools that I suggest. One, take a shower. Take a shower. Just, yo, just take a shower. I don't know why. And I get it,
It's
and I get
true.
it.
I get it.
And I
Like
get
a
it like when
cool
you're
shower.
depressed. No, not even cold shower. Like I get it when you're depressed. And because I trust me, I have been there. When you're depressed and you're just like, it's so much easier to stay in bed. It's so much easier to be in the clothes that you're in.
Oh, I get out
It's
of bed.
so much work just to like walk a few steps to turn on the shower and wait for it to get a little warm so you can just put your feet over or walk in and then scrub yourself. Trust me, like that's one on my depressed, like on my really heavy depression days, taking a shower was an accomplishment for me. So that's why I'm just like, just take a, if anything you do today, just take a shower, wash your face and take a shower, because
These are tips for people, not specifically for me. I have washed my face.
I promise.
I have showered. I'm
And my
kidding.
second tip is EFT tapping, which is it. Emotional frequency tapping. Basically, you can find this on YouTube anywhere. I always there's this one healer that I follow, which is Miriam Hazneh, and she, if you just put EFT and Miriam, it comes up. She gives you power points to tap. So you're just basically tapping like your shoulder, your third eye, your sinuses, your chest, and you're just taking deep breaths in your wrist, your palm, the top of your hands. My biggest one is my chest. If I just start tapping my chest,
Oh, I always do this.
I feel like
Oh,
the
that's gonna
ooh.
mess with the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been like pressing, tapping your chest and my forehead since I have
Used
sinus
to do
rhythm.
this, but I don't think it was just something for me to do.
But it's like a hard, not like
Now it
a little
hurts.
tapping, like a really like
No, I would hit that bone right here, the
right
clavicle
there.
part.
These tips, honestly. She has a really good one that she just posted. She's been doing these for decades, And every time I feel anxious or every time after I watch the news, I'm just like, tap my forehead, I tap my shoulders, I tap my chest, I tap my wrist, I tap the top of my hand, my palm, my sinuses. And I just do it. And you're just like repeating the motions. And there's specific.
Don't touch your face though. Wash your hands before you touch your face.
Don't do this in public. But these techniques really, really help, especially if you are at work, especially if you are dealing with stressful environments, like being a healthcare professional. I am so grateful for our family because most of them are healthcare professionals. And I know currently one of them is really, really in the thick of it. And it's just a blessing to know that these are, you know, these are our soldiers. These are the ones in the front line dealing with this, and they are my heroes.
There you go.
With the strength to carry on.
You're on like 7 different notes.
We're not doing I am so toned up, so I apologize for that in advance or afterwards.
Yeah, just tune in. I think the biggest thing is tune into yourself, like tune inside, see how you're feeling, acknowledge what you're feeling, and then proceed moving forward. Move forward with that acknowledgement, whether you need to change it, you know, it's like, okay, well, maybe you plan time to do it if you have something pending, like impending that's happening, you know, practice those tips that Lisa was saying, because I had to go to Home Depot to get something, and I had an hour before conference call, and I was like, do I do it? Do I not? Do I do it? Do I not? So I went through a whole anxiety thing because I'm scared it's outside and I don't have a proper mask and people. So I did it, and I was like, I have to have enough time to go outside, do my disinfectant thing, and then shower before this conference call. I'm not going to sit on a conference call and just be like, I could be dying right now. So it's like, I knew I had to do it. I knew, okay, here's the time where I'm going to, you know, take care of me, have my peace of mind so that I can then do the conference call and not think about this thing and ruminate over the anxiety. So definitely need to go back to some of the tools. Some of them just require a lot more effort than I have the energy for. But, you know, it's just trying, just try your best. That's all we can do.
Working out is an effort within itself. Like today, I'm just like,
you did so well. Lisa led a group workout yesterday, and
I wanted to stop. I was like, guys, I can't go.
She didn't. I literally was like, I'm done. Greg's like, get off the floor, and I was like, nope, you can't see me. I should have just turned my camera off so y'all couldn't see me.
Like, you guys can do it. I know I can't do it right now.
We all did it.
We do it tomorrow.
Girl. Oh, man.
But you know, like working out, like, because it's really, I really looked at myself. Like, I write down every day that I work out, like, what I do. Just, like she says, just persevering. Just, you know, just taking one step at a time. Just.
There's no need to rush. It's like learning to fly or falling in love. That's a Disney song for. Y'all, oh no, it's Jordan Sparks, but
you've sung, I believe it's a Disney song. So many times,
and it's just what happens when I hear one step at a time. Look it up. You're gonna find. Look it up.
But I got you to sing.
Find the reason.
Yes.
One step at a time.
One step at a time. But you guys got this. Just like you, Soraya, Ugensa.
Lila, Kel. Yeah, Lila and Kim. Merci, Lisa.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining.
That's it.